Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of the Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we've got an action-packed show for you today. We're going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, last weekend, folks, I was up in Northern California, and I got a chance to go to an IndyCar race as well as see qualifying for NHRA Top Fuel Drag Racing, so I'll talk a little bit about that today. But we have a huge motorsports weekend show to talk about. We've got IndyCars, NASCAR, Formula One, drag racing, and a huge announcement about a new change and a new owner that's going to be a part of the ownership group for IndyCar. This is huge news for the sport. Of course, we'll talk about some weird and unusual news that actually has to do with Arizona via Chicago. And then we'll talk about gas prices. Then, of course, it wouldn't be the Car Show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the Car Show. Well, last week, it was a huge announcement in motorsports, and the headline reads, "Why Fox's buy-in is exactly what IndyCar needed." Well, the thing Roger Penske, the owner of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and IndyCar, thought would never happen, a concession that Roger Penske needed to make to have IndyCar reach its full potential. The broadcast partner with a Fox, which is their broadcast partner with a vast marketing and promotional expertise, with a new vested financial interest in the success of the racing series, is everything IndyCar has been lacking. Fox, as a co-owner of Penske Entertainment, should solve this problem as it brings a passion to bear on the sport. Fox now owns one-third of IndyCar, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Indy NTX, and the IMS Productions. And that's one big step that the series should see toward moving forward in the sporting marketplace. Now, Penske's purchase of the series of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the approach of 2020 gave IndyCar the kind of long-term stability it needed, and the leadership and the financial sacrifice during the COVID-19 pandemic kept the series alive. Now, hailed as one of the great business minds, Roger Penske's success with a myriad of companies he has created or bought and developed under the Penske Corporation banner, where his fortune has been amassed. He's also the nature of the business, where the brick-and-mortar variety, leaving new ventures as owners with promoters of the IndyCar series, a little bit of a compromise. Now, amongst the range of high-defined muscles within the Penske empire, innovative marketing and promotions within the sports and entertainment industry was needing development. And I think that's a understatement, personally. Fox's arrival in 2025 as the new and exclusive broadcast partner for the series, and the announcement of a ownership stake, has turned IndyCar's greatest liability into a formidable strength by the Fox Corporation and Fox Sports. No, this is not a unique arrangement. The NFL has massive media deals that bring in billions with telecasts spread across multiple networks, cable, and streaming. Without those networks holding ownership position in the league, the same is true for NBA, MLB, and so on. NASCAR has an identical model with its races being carried on Fox, NBC, and cable channels and streaming while maintaining 100% ownership of their series. Liberty Media, which owns the commercial rights for Formula One and MotoGP, is an immensely powerful but does not have a network or cable solutions that it owns. In the IndyCar Fox transaction, something new and different is being created as an elite sport property now has a host broadcaster. Now, since the purchase of IndyCar in 2020, the concept of taking on a strategic partner with the ability to fill in the institutional void in marketing and promoting the sporting league has been suggested to Penske in a sustained manner by a wide variety of people. With the great respect for Penske driven a deep care and passion for IndyCar, there's been a steady drumbeat to find the right media ally with the means and the vision to break the series out of its decade-long status as America's best-kept racing secret. Now, with the great respect that people have for Penske, years of attempts to increase awareness for IndyCar has been facing stiff opposition from the stick and ball sports, plus rising tied with Formula One in America, and NASCAR's well-known status as the top domestic racing series has produced gains, but none of them would be considered transformational. IndyCar continues to move out of the sport and entertainment shadows at a glacier pace, trying to generate a wider popularity for IndyCar and its drivers for multiple seasons through greater annual investments with its in-house marketing and promotional plans, but the timing was right to heed those calls, a welcome proven force like Fox into the family. Now, the rumored sale price is $130 million for one-third share. It's a significant sum, but I wouldn't look at the number as a first step for Penske to sell off the series. Everything we've learned says this is a one-time opening of the books to sign a formal ally with Fox and a chance to turn a weakness into a significant advantage with the onboarding of a new ally, followed by closing the books. Penske's always said, aggressively so, that he would never sell IndyCar or IMS. Both are viewed as heirlooms, the kind of assets that stay within a family for generations. And to that end, his word is true. A portion of the properties were sold, but at 66% interest, Penske retains control of all aspects of the business. Now, this wasn't an effort to pull money out of Penske Entertainment or randomly seek capital or investors. Others, including Liberty Media, have made their efforts known to try to acquire IndyCar each time they've been denied. Simply put, if Penske was looking to get out of IndyCar and IMS, there's much bigger paydays to engineer. Selling one-third to Fox Corporation without improving the sport and raceway, well, those are going to happen. Penske Entertainment has tenured leadership group that includes Penske Corporation's president Bud Denker, CEO Mark Miles, and Doug Bowles, who's the president of IndyCar and IMS. No changes are expected in the existing manager structure. However, look for additions to the Penske Entertainment Board as Fox Corporation and Fox Sports become centrally involved in the big picture and the development of the series and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The likes of Bowles and Miles won't be sharing office space at 16th and Georgetown with their new counterparts at Fox, but it is time to craft some strategies for the series on and off the track. Fox Sports CEO Eric Shanks and other leaders within the Fox hierarchy will have plenty of ideas and opinions to offer. Now, the marriage isn't one of convenience. To make Penske Entertainment better and stronger and more prosperous by adding Fox into the mix. Although Fox is a minority owner of the company, the last thing Penske or any executive team wants to do is maintain the status quo. It's a creative infusion with someone like Shanks, who now has a financial stake in IndyCar's rise, embracing the change will benefit Penske Entertainment. There are many ways the Penske-Fox relationship could change the trajectory of IndyCar in terms of internal adjustments, and the most influential item on the radar are the events themselves. By name, the entertainment side of Penske Entertainment represents the events and business promoters of the Detroit Grand Prix, and since its purchase in 2020, Penske has become the largest promoter of IndyCar events, with the Long Beach Grand Prix, which it purchased during the offseason, the Indianapolis Grand Prix, the Indy 500, Iowa Speedway, Milwaukee Mile, and for the first time, the season finale at Nashville Super Speedway. It adds a new event in 2026 as the co-promoter of the Arlington Grand Prix, and Mexico City is on the menu as Penske has led that venture into the mix. Altogether, a growing portion of the business is concerned about creating and administrating events where Marquee Series competes. That means expansion with Fox and Shank involved. Places and years have been waiting to be defined, but I continually hear a substantial motivation to create new festival-like street racing events for IndyCar. NASCAR has identified the same strategy and has taken its well-known series to the masses in the metropolitan hometowns and has built a sizable new fan base, a best way to avoid stagnation. Well, when we look in the past, IndyCar's schedule in 1990 was very aggressive, with temporary street circuits of 7 of its 15 races held in downtowns or airport locations in California, Colorado, Ohio, Michigan, New Jersey, and 2 visits to Canada with Vancouver and Toronto. Nearly half the season was spent outside of ovals and permanent road courses. While some fans don't care for street courses themselves, there's no denying their impact. As IndyCar searches for younger fans, creating a downtown parties blended with motorsports is a proven tactic that Formula One has used to great effect, and NASCAR has come on to it as well, taking into effect what happened in Chicago. 4 of its 17 races today are held on street courses, and that becomes 5 with the arrival of Arlington. That gives the new relationship time to develop. And by 2027 or 2028, don't be surprised if a few more Fox-led street racing festivals modeled after the Long Beach Grand Prix, with its nonstop carousel of music, food, all-day action, different kinds of racing, is a greater part of the IndyCar identity. Rather than try to retool races where ticket-buying fans are on the decline, creating unforgettable new events in major hubs is where IndyCar stakeholders really want IndyCar to take its stand. Now, with its new ownership stake and heightened need to make the series more popular and profitable, we could see a shift away from traditional thinking on how IndyCar races are scheduled and presented. The standard window of races being reserved exclusively for the weekends could be up for consideration. NFL games are played on Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays, and occasionally on Saturdays. Run through other leagues and most hold 3 to 4 times per week with IndyCar's new and favored status on Fox. A new approach on when and where events are held could be a priority. Trying to twist and contort a series that was restricted to Saturday and Sunday, also while trying to avoid big conflicts with other sporting events like the Masters, are more popular and likely to sap viewership. It doesn't need to continue. With racing in a series it co-owns, Fox can take a fresh approach in devising a calendar that isn't entirely limited to the high congestion broadcast windows that often conspire against better TV ratings. Whether it's a weeknight, Friday night, or some place where IndyCar has the best odds to be seen by the masses of sports fans, future IndyCar schedules could look of optimizing broadcast placement with a bare minimum of head-to-head airtime with other series. There's an urgent need for more and better marketing and promotion for IndyCar, which has lamented for a long time that Roger Penske has owned the season. It was daily criticism when the series was owned by the Holman-George family, and it was seeing the topic of frustration when the former Indy Racing League existed when the IRL rivals at Champ Car. For more than a century, the shortcomings associated with trumpeting and amplifying the unquestioned quality of IndyCar racing under various names and owners. It has been an anchor that has allowed NASCAR and F1 to match or rocket past its position in the marketplace. A sale of 33% to Fox isn't an overnight cure, but has the most encouraging media development in decades and a potential to move one of the biggest thorns away from IndyCar's paw. The racing series Fox now co-owns on a network where most of the country's fans go to see the NFL and Major League Baseball and a certain portion of the NASCAR season more and more as just a home team. Just as Penske's done when he signed a new driver to take his IndyCar team to new heights, he has openly engaged and signed a new partner to make this a heavyweight contender for the first time in ages. Just imagine the possibilities. Well, I can tell you the conversations between my friends and myself with regards to this update and this new groundbreaking relationship. Everybody who is an IndyCar fan is extremely excited, and I think there is a great path forward for IndyCar with Fox, and I can't wait to see what the next 5 years look like. Weekend Formula One was at one of my favorite tracks, and one of the, well, it's actually the only Formula One track that I've actually visited that's outside the United States, and that is Spa, Belgium. And it was a crazy race with starting with a rain delay, and it started under caution. But McLaren went on to finish first and second, with Oscar Piastri winning, Lando Norris finishing in second, Charles Leclerc in third for Ferrari, Max Verstappen in the Red Bull car was fourth, and George Russell finished in fifth. And this weekend, well, the race just finished up. I was watching it while I was doing my car show, and we're going to talk about what happened today in Formula One. Well, with these European races, you got to get up pretty early or record the race, and I actually do both. But this morning, I definitely got up and watched the race. And once again, McLaren goes 1-2. This time it's Lando Norris winning the race, Oscar Piastri in second. George Russell passing Charles Leclerc gets into third position. In fourth was Charles Leclerc and Fernando Alonso rounding out the top five. Formula One will be taking a month-long break, so we're going to have a nice little pause, which I think is a great idea in these motorsport series. These guys race way too many races without breaks. I think NASCAR only has one break for 1 week in its entire season. So Formula One is going to be off for the next 4 weeks, and looking forward to seeing what happens in the final months of the Formula One championship. But right now, it looks like it is all McLaren. NASCAR was in Indianapolis, and the headline reads, Wallace wins double overtime Brickyard 400 thriller. Well, Mother Nature wasn't going to deprive Bubba Wallace of the most important win of his career. Not that Sunday afternoon. Unsure about the amount of fuel left in his other 23 Toyota, Wallace survived a rain shower and two overtime restarts at Indianapolis Motor Speedway to win the Brickyard 400 in two overtimes as he punched his ticket into the NASCAR Series playoffs. Wallace was comfortably ahead of runner-up Kyle Larson with four laps left in regulation, but then a sudden shower forced NASCAR to call its fifth caution of the afternoon. The rain was gone almost as quickly as it appeared. After the short stoppage to dry the track, Wallace pulled ahead of Larson on the overtime restart. A five-car accident on the backstretch sent the race into a second overtime period. Wallace stayed on this track for the next restart, hoping his fuel would last. And again, he pulled away from Larson this time, getting to the white flag without incident. One more circuit, and he went on to claim a crown jewel trophy at the Brickyard 400. The third victory of Wallace's career ended a 100-race dry spell dating back to September 11th, 2022 at Kansas Speedway. He led 30 laps, including the last 26 of the race. "Oh my gosh, I'm just so proud of this team," Wallace said. "What an adrenaline rush. This is crazy. I am completely worn out." After pausing to hug his wife, Amanda, and hold his 10-month-old son, Beckett's, aloft cheering in front of the cheering crowd, he said, "This is unbelievable. To win here at the Brickyard, knowing how big this race is, knowing all the noise that's going around in the background, this is a testament to the people in this another 23 team. And right now, it's great to be in the playoffs." Wallace, who started on the front row besides pole sitter Chase Briscoe, ran consistently in the top five all day, but didn't take control of the race until lap 119. So Bubba Wallace, oh, that's a big win for Bubba to win at the Brickyard and put a crown jewel in his trophy case, the number three win of his career, with Kyle Larson finishing in second, Denny Hamlin in third, Ryan Preece in fourth, and Brad Keselowski rounding out the top five. Earlier last weekend, I had the blessing of being up in Northern California and seeing my very dear friend Doug and going to two motorsports events. We started out on Friday night at NHRA drag racing and got to see Brittany Force set a new speed record, 343 miles per hour. Incredible run. And it's quite a culture shock to go from seeing cars running in a straight line and a quarter mile at over 300 miles an hour to one of the greatest road circuits and street courses and, not a street course, but a natural road course in America and the world at the beautiful Laguna Seca Raceway, one of my favorite tracks in the world. And well, Alex Palou went on to have a dominant win. He won by over 3 seconds, led the majority of the laps of the race. But it was still a fun race. McLaren ran well. They finished in second and in fourth, with Christian Lundgaard finishing second, Pato O'Ward in fourth, and Colton Herta finished on the podium in third for Andretti Motorsports, with Scott Dixon taking the other position in the top five. In Northern California, it tends to be a little cool and damp in the morning with the marine layer, but then as you get around noontime, the sun peeks through, and it was a beautiful, splashed, sunny day in Northern California, highs in the 70s, especially for us down here in Arizona with temperatures consistently over 100. It was nice to be in cool weather and watching IndyCars. So once again, a wonderful trip to Northern California, seeing NHRA drag racing as well as IndyCar all in the same weekend. More motorsports going on today. If you'd like to catch the NASCAR race, that's going to be on the USA channel, and that's going to start at 12:30 today. And Chase Briscoe, once again, on the pole. He was on the pole last weekend for Indianapolis. He's on the pole again today in Iowa, with William Byron starting in second, Kyle Larson third, Austin Cindric in fourth, and Brad Keselowski starting in fifth. So that event starts today at 12:30 on USA, and we'll have those results for you next weekend. Weird and unusual automotive news, and the headline from Road and Track says, two arrested after stolen U-Haul truck caught with a hand-painted license plate, says the police. Well, two people have been arrested after authorities say they spotted them driving a U-Haul truck with a fake license plate. But this wasn't your typical fake license plate. According to the Alhambra Police Department in California, the department's officers noticed the plate was hand-painted to look like a legitimate Arizona plate. Authorities say the U-Haul truck was spotted around Garvey Avenue and Montezuma Avenue, about 6 miles east of downtown Los Angeles. Police saw the fake license plate and stopped the suspects for questioning. During the investigation, the police determined that the truck had been reported stolen in Chicago, and the arrest of Andrew Menes and Nicole Wetzel were both booked into jail. Now, the ADP, which would have been the police department, apparently said they couldn't help but have a little bit of fun. The whole event was posted on their Facebook page. Quote, remember, if your masterpiece is on a stolen vehicle, it's definitely not going to, an art gallery. It's going straight into evidence. Well, it's easy to laugh off the attempt to pass off art project as legitimate, the vehicle's registration. But think about this. It's 2,000 miles from Chicago to the place where it was ultimately stopped in Los Angeles. If the fake plate was on the truck the entire way, that means the U-Haul covered 2/3 of the country and across at least 7 states before any of the authorities happened to notice this. Now, under California law, a person who is caught with an altered or forged license plate can be charged with a felony. If convicted, the sentence can include a $10,000 fine and up to 3 years in jail. And the irony is that the suspects are convicted, they'll be sent to state prison, and they may end up working in a license plate factory. Folks, that's definitely weird and unusual automotive news. Let's talk some gas prices with our friends over at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States has been pretty stable, $3.15 a gallon. Here in Arizona, the average gas price is $3.19. Friends over in New Mexico at $2.93. Colorado, $2.97. Utah, $3.35. Nevada, $3.73. In California, $4.49 a gallon. Interesting, I bought some gas because we were using my buddy Doug's Bronco when we were traveling around California, and I bought a tank, and I think he uses premium. I think it was $5.19 a gallon for premium in California. If you're heading east, oh, how about Texas? $2.75, $2.74 in Oklahoma. Least expensive gas in the country right now is still Mississippi at $2.71 a gallon. All right, let's see what's going on here with our prices here in Arizona. Well, as we talked about earlier, the Arizona gas price is well over $3 a gallon. But folks, if you get outside the metro Phoenix, gas prices can get pretty cheap pretty quick. How about this? The Shell station in Williams, Arizona on Grand Canyon Boulevard, $2.49 a gallon. The Love's Travel Stop near Williams, $2.59. The Pilot Station near Belmont, Arizona at $2.59. The Fast Trip in Bullhead City at $2.65. The Costco stations in Prescott at $2.67 as well. And the Costco in Marana down by Tucson at $2.69. So gas prices are less expensive outside the metro. All right, let's see what's going on with our gas prices here in Metro Phoenix. Well, gas prices are definitely down right now here in Metro Phoenix. $2.79 at the local Sam's Club over on the west side. That is amazing. The Marathon Station and Apache Trail in Apache Junction at $2.83. Sam's Club on West Bell Road at $2.83, as well as mentioned. Arco Station on Bethany Home Road and the I-17 freeway at $2.85. The Costco on 79th Avenue in Glendale at $2.89. And Super Gasoline on North 27th Avenue at $2.89 as well. So there's definitely gas, if you look for it out there, that's going to be under $3 a gallon here in Metro Phoenix. Just got to keep your eyes peeled for that one. A brief look at where the cheapest gas around the world is. Well, right now, Libya has the cheapest gas at 10 cents a gallon. Yeah, 10 cents a gallon. If you're looking in for Puerto Rico at $4.29. Fiji, if you're buying gas in Fiji, at $5.35. In Jamaica, gas is $6.10 a gallon. Thailand, it's $6.78 a gallon. And Mexico right now, average gas price is almost $8 a gallon. So folks, gas prices are definitely more expensive out there, and I'm glad they're coming down here in Metro Phoenix. Well, it's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, normally I would ask my dad for advice, but he passed away last year, so I'm turning to the only other people he trusted to give car advice. That's you. I have a 2010 Volvo XC70 with 55,000 miles on it. I bought it new. My dealer says the windshield seal has gone bad and the entire windshield needs to be replaced to the tune of $3,000. There's no cracks or chips in the glass, but they say the whole windshield package must be replaced to repair the seal. My question is, do I repair the seal or do I buy a new car? The current value of the car is somewhere between $7,000 and $12,000, so I'm doubting that the repair makes a lot of sense. Money is not specifically a concern. I'm concerned about finding another quality car if I decide to go in that route. Thoughts, suggestions on other cars? Thank you, and that's from Rachel. Well, Rachel, have you considered the duct tape solution? Find one that matches your car for the Volvo, you're perfect. Yeah, I assume the seal is leaking and the windshield does need to come out in order to replace the seal. Seals warp around the inside and the outside of the windshield on one side, and they go to the other side of the car's windshield frame. Now, you can put your original windshield back in, but it probably is not worth it. There's a lot of scratches and dings, and windshields actually dry out that you've accumulated over the last 15 years. You'd be surprised about how much clearer your vision is with a brand new glass. You probably can save some money by going to an auto glass shop rather than going to the dealer, but certainly worth doing if you love the car. Now, if I can put my dad hat on for a second here, I sense deep down that you might actually want a new car. Am I right, Rachel? The clues are right there in your questions. You already doubt that the repair makes sense, and you already asked suggestions on new cars. In fact, I thought I might have gotten your letter from a car showroom itself. So you have my blessing to buy another car if you would like one. It's been 15 years since you bought a car, and they're actually more reliable. They have active safety systems, and they actually will help watch the road in front of you, apply the brakes if you don't react in time. They can prevent you from drifting out of your lane. And also, too, they can wirelessly mirror your iPhone onto the large screen while wirelessly charging it at the same time. So I know you're sold now. So there's a lot of great cars out there. There's Volvo VX90 Cross Country, or if you want a crossover, you can look at the SC60. I would suggest you let the new owner of your old Volvo replace that windshield and tell them to write me, and I'll tell you why it's going to cost them $3,000. Meanwhile, get something that makes you happy, and I'm pretty sure your dad would tell you to do that, Rachel. Then if you get your new car, why don't you just leave the sunroof open in the rain for a couple days, and that way it'll smell just like your old beloved Volvo. And you'll feel right at home. That's a good job reading between the lines on that one. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine, and we'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday. And you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.